everyone. It's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. And I cannot wait to tell you about our guest today because I have a really great personal relationship with this person who has helped me out so much. But today we have a gentleman named Alan Waldo, and he is working at the Missouri Procurement Technical Assistance Center, which is APEX, but it is he's a PTAC coordinator, and we'll explain that more and more and more. But he's so interesting because he's got a great background. He has a master's certificate in government contracting from the George Washington University. He holds a certified procurement professional certificate. More and more. I could keep going on and on and on about him. But more importantly, we found out that he was actually a CEO and a COO at several hospitals before he did this role. So I cannot wait to let you know more about him. So Alan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for letting me join you. I've thoroughly enjoyed the discussions we've had in the past and look forward to this discussion right now.
Awesome. So let me give our audience a little bit of a brief bio on how we met. As many of you know, our company is a woman-owned certified diversity company, and I attend a lot of webinars, and I'm a research hound. I love to go and love about research. And I went to this webinar that was about a PTAC, and I didn't understand what that is. And it was procurement technical contracting, right? Something, is that right? PTAC?
What is it? Procurement Technical Assistance. That's a Procurement Technical Assistance Centers.
There you go.
So the old acronym of PTAC. Yep.
There you go. And so I actually had somebody in Columbia, Missouri that referred me to Alan. And Alan has been such a great resource, number one, to our company. He's been a great friend to us and followed us on our journey of our company. And most recently, he helped us to get certified in doing all of the paperwork to be certified with ACDBE, which is the concessions area through the airport gift shop. So I'm indebted to him. I think he's so awesome. So we're going to learn more about him today, but let's just jump right in. So a couple of things. This podcast is a lot about focusing. When I have met with you, I have noticed that you keep a tight schedule. When you are meeting with people, you have people lined up throughout the day. And correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes, you know, we're not always focused when we start our day and we're kind of like, you know, we're just kind of not there. So more importantly, I'd love to know, on a day-to-day basis, how do you come in and have game on and are focused for that day?
Well, for one thing, I mean, I think maybe most importantly is I enjoy what I do. If I didn't enjoy what I'm doing, I probably would not have the focus I try to have with my clients. I've got a lot of people I work with. So I've got about 430 some odd active clients across like 21 or 22 counties in Southwest Missouri. And some of them are more need more attention than others at certain times. So, you know, I can't say that I've got 400 people call me on a daily basis to talk to me. But what I try to do is I try to look at the emergency, what I call emails I'm getting. So if I've got a client that's running into an issue with having to get a solicitation done, and they've got a deadline of a day or two away, or I've got a client who's, well, we say one of their SAM registration, which is what you have to have registered with the federal government, is getting ready to expire. I will always try to prioritize those folks. But I also, though, will typically have 3 to 4 client meetings a day that you know, it's not just me meeting with the client, but it's also the prep work to get ready for that meeting. So I will always try to build some time into my schedule to sit down and say, okay, what are we going to talk about at this meeting? What areas would make the most sense, would have the biggest impact for them as far as government contracting? And then just try to treat every client like I'd want to be treated, kind of following the golden rule on that. So,
And you do, you truly do. And the reason I know this is because I would see his schedule and he would have everything pretty much lined out. And one of the things that I found so impressive about you personally was that when I would meet with you, we would go through, you know, things that we were running into, issues that needed to be fixed or on our registrations. And when I would go to our second meeting, you already had a list of everything that we needed to cover for that next meeting. So with that again, so after you've had a first meeting with somebody and then you have a follow-up meeting, you seem to really have it together. So I guess you do the same thing, right? You look at what your schedule is for the day, find out what their needs were, and then, right? And then you do your research to get those answers.
Yeah, I always kind of hate to walk into a meeting without knowing what the topic's going to be. Mm-hmm. For example, earlier this week, I had a meeting where I thought the topic was going to be, we're going to register this person in the system for ward management or SAM. And about 5 minutes into the meeting, it became apparent that that was not what we were doing at all. So at that point, I kind of had to swing the other direction. We started working on what they call the DBE, or the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise. Had a conversation about that. So, you know, all plans, I mean, you can plan all you want to, but I always kind of come down to whatever the client's emergency is at that moment is what our meeting's actually going to be about. But if we're coming in just kind of an update meeting, then I usually like to have at least some goals in place saying, here's where we're at, here's where I think we should be, and here are the steps we have to take in order for us to get it there. So
I love that. And I don't think a lot of people do that. I think they try to do that, but I think you really have that mastered. And then I'm going to pick your brain one more time. So I actually happen to see your screen, because when you meet with Alan, he's got a screen up that shows exactly information that you might need to be looking into. And I noticed that all of your files in your Outlook, you know, database, they were all organized. So that is one thing that when we hear from our listeners, they want to know how people focus. We get a lot. We get two questions. One is, how do other CEOs and people manage their email when they get so many? Number one. And then number two, how do they organize it? Because it can be overwhelming. And as you know, when you own a business or own a small business, you're getting things thrown at you left and right that maybe you are not good at. So by alleviating the stress of those two things, I think it'd be very helpful. So give us your tips on both of those. So the first is email and the second is file organization.
Well, so emails, and I'm not probably as good at this as you think I am. But with emails, I always try to do my best to answer the email completely the first time I see it. Now, if I've got to kind of rumble around in my head and think about how the best way to respond, I mean, may take me a couple of days to get back to somebody. But if I am on my A game, I will try to respond to that email as quickly as possible, and then try to provide that client with some information. Now, as far as the other organization on it goes, if you are a business and you do not have what I'd call a good customer relationship management type software package, I would recommend at least researching that. I wish I could say that I could remember every conversation you and I have had over the last couple of months about your business. I can't. I mean, I've got so much stuff kind of going around different directions.
Yeah.
But if you've got a good customer relationship management software program and you are taking the time to document it the way you are, or the way you should, then my thought would be is that's going to be probably your best friend, because when you get ready to meet with that client, you can say, hey, at the last meeting, we talked about A, B, and C, and here are the emails that we exchanged during that time period off, because I can count those as counseling sessions too, the emails. So Angela, if you send me an email and ask me questions about the ACDBE and I've got to do a little bit of research and I respond back to you, could just be maybe five sentences coming back to you. But I might have had 15 to 20 minutes worth of research in those five sentences I've sent you back. That counts as a counseling session. It also allows me to keep track of kind of where we're at in our relationship as far as how we're trying to build your business.
Awesome.
So I recommend a real good customer relationship management software sometime.
Awesome. Another question that we get, you know, we'll put it out there and we'll say, do you have any questions for our guests coming up? And many of them say, what is their favorite app and what is their favorite project management software package or item? So do you have any favorites that you can share with us?
App-wise, I'm going to call the plead the fifth and say I'm turning 60 next month, and my favorite apps are probably games on my phone.
But, oh my goodness, that's hilarious! You know,
Facebook, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
My Yahoo Sports apps, I can kind of keep track of my Cardinals, but as far as our relationship management software, with me being a University of Missouri employee and through the APEX, which since we are a statewide network, we actually have a package that's called NeoSera. Which is not available for general public. I mean, it's basically for small business development centers like the SBDCs. Our TAC program, which is the Trade Adjustment Assistance Centers, uses that. We as Missouri APEX use that. So it's kind of a proprietary software that's just mainly for key TACs or APEXs, SBDCs, and TAC programs. So, you know, I guess I'd have to say that's my favorite because it's really the only one I've ever used.
I love it.
And it's fairly user friendly. If you're going to buy one, I mean, I would look for one that allows you to have a lot of drop downs on it. So you're not having, I mean, I spend a lot of time typing in those, but I've also got a lot of drop downs. So for example, if you and I are sharing an email I can actually click that, hey, this is an online meeting, or I can click that it's actually a Zoom meeting or a video meeting. I can present that it's actually a face-to-face meeting.
Right.
I've got a good subject line then too. So why don't we say we're working on your system for ward management? I could put down SAM registration and other topics, and then go down below and say, Angela and I met and we covered this myriad of topics. Number one, we worked on our SAM registration, blah, blah, blah. Number two, we talked about our WSB, blah, blah. I mean, go into those details.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, you know, for my background in healthcare, I am not clinical, never been clinical. Don't want to be clinical. Blood kind of grosses me out. But but the general theory that we always had in healthcare, especially when it came to healthcare records, is that if you did not write it down, you did not do it.
Right.
So I probably typically maybe over document just based upon the information, the experiences I had back in healthcare days. Mm-hmm. Because if you ever had a situation where you were being sued for something, I mean, you definitely would want to have something in that file that said, yeah, we actually considered this, or we talked to the patient about that. So
I'd like to
document a lot more than probably some others, just because that gives me a chance to kind of once again recall what I've done. So
Right. Yep. And you know, it's interesting. I always say any kind of software package that you use, it's only as good as the person who uses it. If you don't input the information and you don't utilize it with your team, it's not worth anything at that point. You really have to implement it. And if you're a leader or a CEO, you have to make sure that your team is doing it as well.
Well, and a couple other points on that too, is it's usually good to try to document, you know, I try to document fairly quick after the meeting. In fact, if I get an opportunity, I try to make sure I have everything documented before I leave that day. Mm-hmm. Put them off for a day or two, then obviously your memory starts getting a little bit fuzzy about what all exactly you did meet about. So obviously having some handwritten notes is not a bad thing either.
Yeah.
But the other thing too, if you get a client management system, if you've got one where you can attach documents to it. So for example, if I were looking in your file today, I'd probably have your Missouri Secretary of State file in there. I probably got maybe a SAM recap or something that's in there. I mean, so there are pieces of information that's always nice for me to be able to refer back to later. Just to get a recap of something we talked about.
Right.
Sometimes I've even been known, if I've got handwritten notes, and my handwriting is awful. I mean, sometimes I look at that, I can't read it myself. But when I first started working there, I a lot of times would take handwritten notes, and I would actually sometimes scan the handwritten notes in also. But I've gotten, like I said, a lot better though at actually getting all the information into the client software system at this point.
Definitely. Who are the people that come to you for help? Are they business owners? Are they, I mean, who is the person that walks into your office, except for me, right? I mean, give us an example, because the reason I say that is I think what you do is so important, but I don't think people know the resources that are available to them as business owners.
First thing about Apex is, I mean, we're not just a Missouri thing. Obviously, we got the Missouri Apex. So if you're a business in Missouri and you're saying, hey, I have an interest in working with Apex, I'm going to encourage you. And I've got my email address on my little background there, but I'm going to encourage you to reach out to me. And I'd be more than happy, if you're not in my area, I'd be more than happy to refer you to one of my other expert colleagues across the state. But all 50 states have an Apex accelerator. Some of them, like New York, has 3 or 4 Apex accelerators. They're also an Apex accelerator in Guam, one in Puerto Rico, one in the Virgin Islands, and then one in DC. So if you're a government contractor and you're saying, or you want to become a government contractor and you're sitting there saying, hey, I'd like to be able to have access to this resource too, go ahead and reach out to me. I have zero problem making an introduction to another Apex accelerator for you. Because I think it's so important to be connected. And the nice thing about working with us, and it doesn't matter if you're working with the Missouri Apex Accelerator, you're working with the Oklahoma Apex, or you're working with the Kansas Apex, or one of the Apexes in California, our services are at no cost. We are funded by the Department of Defense. So about 65% of our funding comes from the Department of Defense. And then I happen to be a University of Missouri employee. So that is a one consistent thing across the networks, is that you have to pay for our services. I prefer to work with folks that are established in business and have a product or service to sell. Now, without me saying that though, I've got, of my 400 some odd clients, about 40 or 50 of them are what I'd call camp hosts or camp attendants. So if you've ever gone to an Army Corps of Engineer lake and you've launched a boat or gone camping, and you've got the nice, friendly people sitting in the booth that are greeting you to the campground or collecting your money, those are usually government contractors. Mm-hmm. And I have seemed to have developed a market niche, almost like a cottage industry, helping out these folks from across, mainly Missouri. I've got a couple that are outside of Missouri, but mainly Missouri, these folks that want to become camp hosts and work at an Army Corps campsite for 6 months a year.
Of course.
I've also got a company that's a large cybersecurity firm. I've got a large battery producer that produces batteries for NASA and the Department of Defense. I've got some construction folks that move like large amounts of dirt for dams, for dam projects up around the Mississippi River, Missouri River. Yeah, I mean, I don't have what I'd call just one client. In fact, I kind of look at it as being, it's kind of neat to me, because if I were just working all day with engineering firms,
right,
I'd probably get bored. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you look at the number of industries that I work with and number of different types of companies, I probably got 50 different types of companies out there that I work with on a consistent basis, maybe more than that, probably 70 or 75 different companies I work with on a daily basis. And, you know, truthfully, with very rare exceptions, you've seen one client. Mm-hmm. Everybody's coming at a different level that they're working. I mean, as far as where they're at, ready to contract. Now, the other nice thing too is if I have a client walks into my office that truthfully is just not ready to government contract. I mean, I always hate the meetings when somebody walks in and says, and I said, "What do you want to do?" "Well, I want to sell to the government." "Well, that's great. What do you want to sell?" "Well, I don't know. What do they buy?" "Well, they buy just about everything." "So what are you interested in?" "I don't know. I want to sell whatever they buy a lot of."
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't really help that person a whole lot. However, though, the way I can help them, though, is that we've got a great sister organization in what they call the Small Business Development Center. So mm-hmm. SBDCs, and those are also all over the nation. So if I have somebody that's in Southwest Missouri that is wanting to, that's just pretty much brand new in business, they're trying to get a business plan together, they're trying to figure out how to procure financing, and maybe looking at being able to write some policies and procedures, they may be looking for a marketing plan. I can't really work with those folks a whole lot, at least in those areas. But what I can do is I can make a referral, and with my territory right now, I've got some wonderful folks at the Missouri State University SBDC and the Missouri Southern State University SBDC. And also some of my territory reaches up to the Missouri S&T. So they're also a great group to work with. So we've got a great resource pretty much all across the state with the SBDCs also.
That's amazing. And a lot of people, again, just do not know that these resources are available. So that's why I was so excited to have you on here.
By the way, did I say that the SBDC is free too?
I don't think so. Yeah, that's
they're free also, because they're actually funded by the Small Business Administration.
And just to be clear, so SBDC, for anyone who's listening, and they have them in other states, but they are... who would go to them? They can help with like business plans. They can help with figuring out how to start a business, things like that, right?
So their basic requirements. So great, I don't work with that. So I don't know all their requirements, but basic requirements. They can work with a brand new business. They can start with a startup. They can they can go with a business been, and they've got the technical terms for them, but folks that are like second stage businesses, I think they're called, all the way up to advanced business. I mean, the requirements is a business has got to be for profit. Mm-hmm. Business has got to be considered to be small according to the NAICS codes, the North American Industry Classification System codes. But they can be just about at any level. And the other nice thing about the SBDCs, where the apexes are, we only have about 10 counselors across the state. The SBDCs have a lot more counselors. In fact, like, for example, because I house with the Missouri State folks, they've also got some very energetic and smart young student workers that are able to do a lot of their research and stuff for them, too. So they've got a lot. They've got many, many more counselors than the Apex, but they also have got a lot more areas that they cover compared to us.
Awesome. No, this is so helpful. Two questions on that. What are the one or two most important things that a small business owner should have when they start a business? Does anything come to mind?
Money. Cash. Okay, cash is always good.
I am falling down in my chair if you're listening by audio. No, I started my business 30 years ago with my search firm and I had $3,000. I would never recommend that. But let me tell you, when you have a drive and you have a desire, you'll get up and make it happen. So no, that's really good. Anything else that comes to mind?
Okay. So cash, and I'm going to say a plan. I mean, you need to know what it is that you're good at.
Yep.
and what it is that people are buying. So, you know, in the government marketplace, even though the government literally buys just about everything, I mean, literally just about everything. I mean, there are some things they don't, but you need to, so if you're walking to my office and yes, you're in business and you're looking to sell cell phones. I mean, I don't know what you're selling. I mean, whatever it might be.
Right.
There is some research we can find out to find out who's been buying products that are similar to yours. So in other words, if there are, geez, I probably should know this off the top of my head, but 2000 federal agencies, 500 federal agencies you could sell to, you're going to want to laser focus your who you're going to try to sell these products to as compared to just saying, hey, I'm going to approach the Department of Defense, Department of Energy, and the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Interior and blah, blah. I mean, just start throwing out any kind of acronym you can for whoever you might be trying to sell to. Because I'm going to say we probably need to focus you a little bit more to actually who may be your best customers in this. So that's some true. Of the research we can help you do, or at least train you also how to do some of that research yourself.
Love it. Second question. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see small business owners that happen that maybe other business owners can avoid? I think it's so important because sometimes it can be very lonely when you're doing it on your own and you don't ask for support. What are some mistakes that you have seen that, you know, if they had known before, maybe they wouldn't have done that? Does anything come to mind?
Well, I mean, choose your partners wisely might be one of them. Do Love not it. Forget to use some of the free resources that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, and I'm going to say Apex here,
mm-hmm.
A big mistake. And this is, once again, this is specifically focused on my territory.
Mm-hmm.
Someone may say, hey, I need to get registered to do business with the federal government. And you go onto the federal government where you go onto Yahoo or Google search and you type in SAM registration. And the first three or four things that are potentially going to pop up are commercial companies that would love to sell you their services and charge you $600 to do a SAM registration.
Right.
You know,
they
probably do a fine job. I mean, I don't mind that. They probably do a fine job, but why pay for something that you can get for free?
Yeah.
So don't be scared to utilize free resources. So pick your partners wisely, use free resources and know your product and know what you're selling.
Yes. Once again,
going back to the, yeah.
No, I was just going to say, when I first met you, I forgot one of the biggest mistakes that we had made was when we were SAM registered, right? We got tons of calls and tons of emails saying, we can get you out to this many people and we can do this new monthly newsletter. We get you out in front of these people. And we took the bait because we knew we needed the help. And that was before I knew you were there, Alan. And it cost us like $2,000 and they didn't do it. And it was pretty much a scam because they didn't provide it. So I would echo what you're saying and to be careful and be wise and do the research and find out, you know, are they good? Check the references and use these free resources. And we will list these resources available on our website for this, because I think that's why I wanted to have Alan here. I think he's just amazing. And I think it's so important what he brings to the table. And just to say and to echo what you said, for me personally, the two biggest things I think you need when you start a business is a great CPA and a great attorney. Because the way that you lay out your company, whether it's 51% woman-owned or legally, whatever you need to do, your partnership, that is the foundation that you will have to live with for a while.
Yep.
Yeah. So awesome.
Another side note, too. I mean, because you kind of started going down this path. If you ever have somebody guaranteeing you that they can get you government contracts, they are lying through their teeth. There's no guarantees ever for a government contract.
No,
we'll get you in front of 500 buyers and we're going to guarantee sales within the first 6 months. That's not going to happen. Nobody can guarantee that.
That's right. That's right. So
don't look at these guarantees these folks are throwing out there, because it doesn't exist. It should not. I mean, it does not exist. There are no guarantees in government contracting.
Right. I'm so glad that we're talking, because again, learn from other people, learn from my mistakes, listen to this and go find out about those resources. And again, we'll put the links on our website. You know, Alan, I could talk to you all day, but I'm so enamored just by your drive and your organization. And as a matter of fact, you actually used to be a CEO of a hospital. And so we're going to have Alan on our other podcast, which is Refocus Careers. And we're going to find out more about his background. So make sure to check that out. But Alan, we have one last question that we like to ask everyone on this podcast. And that is, you know, we're all human. And sometimes we have our off days and we just don't have game on. So for you, when you get in your car and you're going to that meeting and you just got to have game on, but you're not there, what is the song or the artist or the genre that you listen to that gives you game on?
Okay, so there's a couple different songs that probably I can turn to. And some of it depends on where I'm at, maybe emotionally that day. If I'm feeling disconnected Christian-wise, then something like I'll Praise You in the Storm by Casting Crowns. Or maybe something by Chris Tomlin might be what I need. But if I'm in a kind of a fired up mood, it's kind of a strange swing from one to the other, but maybe Panama by Van Halen or maybe Working Man by Rush. So.
Love it. I tell you what, I think we're about the same age because those songs are coming back to me. So this is so perfect. Well, listen, again, I could talk to you all day. You've given us such great information, and we will put information about this on how you can reach Alan or he can connect you with other people. But do not be afraid to reach out, because there's a saying, right, that it says it's lonely at the top. And sometimes when you start a business, you know, it's hard to know everything. And I can tell you from my personal experience, when, you know, we are certified with WeBank, with WSB, SBA, Disability, and now ACDBE, and the airports, that was so foreign to me. I had no idea. And Alan made that process so easy, so simple, and we're now certified. So again, reach out. But Alan, thank you so much for joining us. This has been great.
You're welcome. I am so glad you invited me to join you.
Awesome. Have a great day.
You too.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus, the Creative Office. We create products that help you focus and refocus. We've got over 36 products. You can find us at Amazon, Walmart, Wayfair, Staples.com, and 200 Staples stores. You can find us at Oriental Trading, Michaels.com, Newegg, eBay, a lot of different places, and also our own website, which is refocus.com. If you haven't checked out our website lately, check it out, because we've got some new things on there. First of all, our 2024 annual calendars are just coming out now. We've only got so many, so definitely want to pre-order those as soon as you can. Our academic calendars, we've still got some left. Those are really selling fast. And also, we're doing something new. If you have kids that are in college and you're a parent, let me tell you, I'm a mom, and I've sent care packages of very high cost for very little. We decided to create some really cool care packages. We've got three different levels, and we create those also for self-care packages, but we also have them for students. So check them out. They're pretty cool. And there's pictures on our website. So refocus.com. No matter what you're going through, don't forget to stop, take a moment, and refocus. everyone. It's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus Careers. And I am going to introduce you to a really amazing individual that has such a unique background. And it's a career that maybe you might have considered or you may not know about. And I'm so excited to let you know about him. But today we have Alan Waldo, and he works with the Missouri Procurement Technical Assistance Center, which is now APEX. And he's in Southwest Missouri, but he's got just a unique background because he's got a master's certificate in government contracting. He's a certified procurement professional. I could go on and on, but more importantly, he even was a CEO of a hospital before he went into the procurement area. So we're going to find out more and more about him. So first of all, Alan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, welcome. I always enjoy having a conversation with you. So
thank you so much. So the reason he says that, if you haven't heard him on our other podcast on refocuswithangela.com, you're going to find out how he focuses. So make sure you check that one out. But I actually went to the procurement center in Springfield, Missouri, and we were getting certified with ACDBE, and which is the airport concessions. And Alan made that possible. He made it simple. He was such a great help. And so it was, he's a delight to work with. So, but I want to go way, 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 way back in your career. So when you first started out and you went to college, what was it at that time that you had planned on doing in your career? Because as you know, many people will change careers 3 and 4 times throughout their year. But when you went to college, you graduated, then what did you think you were going to do at that point?
So I grew up in St. Louis. Not sure why I chose to get a Bachelor of Science degree in accounting, but I did. So I got my Bachelor of Science degree in accounting. And at that point, my dream job was working with Baird, Kurtz, and Dobson, which is now, well, it was BKD, now it's Forvis in Springfield. Great accounting firm. One of the top 10 accounting size accounting firms now in the nation.
I'm going to stop you. Do you know, I was actually in my junior year of college, and I was their marketing coordinator there. So I know all about them. Yes. So anyway, continue, please. Yes.
So I was offered a job there. I thought it was going to be my dream job. Worked for them for a couple of years. And, you know, if you ever feel like kind of sometimes you're kind of a round peg in a square hole type situation, that's probably me. I mean, I've got great memories from working there. I've got some great contacts from there. But you know, sometimes you just look at that and say, this is probably not where I need to be. And it wasn't. So I moved on from BKD and had an opportunity to go to work down at Skaggs Community Hospital down in Branson. Because when I was working at BKD, I was focused a lot on audits for the healthcare industry. So I kind of felt like I had a love toward the healthcare industry. So I was helping with audits of hospitals, nursing homes, and I believe I'd helped with a home health agency or two. And I was, I don't know, I just seemed like kind of the direction I wanted to head. But back it up even a little bit more. So when I was a freshman in college, I had a roommate by the name of Mark Wilhelms, who I'd grown up with. I mean, he was a year older than me, but he and I both graduated from the same high school together. And his father was one of the lead architects on the Cox South Medical Center project at that point. So, I mean, everybody knows Cox South, but I mean, that's 40-year-old building or whatever it is now. And on the weekend they were opening, I had gotten a special tour with Mark and his father, and a gentleman who was a CEO, who was the CEO at Cox South, and unfortunately since has passed away, but Bob Bazanzen. And I sat there listening to Bob Bazanzen. I thought, man, this sounds like the kind of job I'd love to have. I mean, he was talking about helping take care of patients. He was talking about physician relationships. He was talking about healthcare in general. But you don't normally walk right out of college into a healthcare leadership role. So, you know, in the back of my mind, Bob had helped plant that seed for me. And, so then back to BKD. So after I left there, I had a chance to go to work at Skaggs Community Hospital, which is now Cox Branson, as a staff accountant. So I was doing invoices and, you know, just the day to day book type grind, but I began getting moved up in the organization. It was the CFO there, so chief financial officer there for 3 or 4 years or 5 years, and it was involved quite a bit in bond issues and major purchases and negotiations. And you know, I kind of felt like it kind of hit my niche. Well, that job came to an end, and at that point, I had to kind of decide what I wanted to do. So I ended up taking the chance to become a hospital CEO. Didn't have a master's degree or anything at that point, but I went to become a hospital CEO at Barton County Memorial Hospital in Lamar, which is now Cox Barton County.
They all change.
Yeah, they all change. Loved that job. Lamar was a great community to be involved in, great little hospital. Then I was offered a job to become the chief operating officer up in Citizens Memorial Hospital up in Bolivar, and had a, had a great career there, and it had made a lot of good friends. Had a chance to work for, Don Babb, who's a wonderful hospital CEO. From there, then I had a chance to go up to Cooper County Memorial Hospital in Boonville, Missouri, which is outside of Columbia. And was there for a while. And then at that point, that job unfortunately came to an end. And I then was kind of left figuring out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I'm 51 at that point and wasn't sure I wanted to continue in healthcare. Healthcare, if you know,
if you're 51 years old, I mean, to make your career change, it's a big decision, right?
It was. Healthcare is really stressful, and I am pretty positive that it was taking its toll on my personal relationships and probably also my health.
Wow.
In fact, I had a CEO, my first CEO that I worked with, gentleman member Russ Russell, who unfortunately passed away numerous years ago, that had kind of at one point said, "I'm not sure you really want to become a hospital CEO because it really takes tolls on people's health."
Interesting.
And I was at that point, and I was having to make a decision.
Wow, that's so huge that you were listening to yourself on that.
Yep. So oddly enough, I had a I had somebody I was working with that was interested in me potentially buying their business, and that had to do with a little bit of kind of a sidebar on healthcare. That I was pretty clear to the point where I was probably not going to take that, not wanting to buy the business. But as kind of a last ditch thing, she said, "Hey, what I'd like to have you do is, if you don't mind coming by and meeting this guy that's involved in government contracting, would you come meet with me with him?" So I went into the meeting. The guy that was the guy before me in at the PTAC role, a guy named David Jerome. And the very first thing out of his mouth was, "Oh, by the way, I'm leaving this job in about a month and a half. It's a great job for somebody to have. If you know somebody that may have an interest in applying for it, here's the website you can go to." And at that point I said, "Voila, this may be a God thing," because I didn't have any idea at all that that this would be something that I would probably even have an interest in. So not knowing anything about government contracting, and I decided to apply for the job. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was granted an interview, which kind of surprised me. Like I said, I had no background in government contracting whatsoever. But I had a master's degree at that point, and that was one of the requirements, was to have a master's degree. And I can still remember to this day walking into the interview. And I tried to prep for the interview the best I could. I mean, try to know some of the acronyms, knew a little bit about government contracting. And I'm meeting with my boss at that point, Bill Stubbe, and then Rayanna Anderson, who is the over the SBDC at Missouri State University at that point, and also a gentleman who's my colleague and my friend, Willis Mushrush, who's the PTAC or APEX guy in West Plains. And about halfway through the interview, and I'm being very honest with them. I don't know much about this. I can learn, which I can. And Willis looked at me, kind of laughed, and said, "Alan," he says, "I've got to ask you this question." He says, but you're not going to know the answer." I said, "Well, ask it to me." He said, "What is the FAR?" Well, the FAR stands for Federal Acquisition Regulations. It is basically the manual that federal contractors have to use. And you know, they don't even publish, but it's a book about yay thick. And I thought, I have no idea what the FAR is. I mean, I did not figure out that acronym.
Far away from
so
my
instead
mind.
Of instead of like coming off some stupid response and saying, "Well, I think it's what I said is FAR." I said, "The FAR, that's where you cook your s'mores. You take it to the FAR." And at that point, I mean, I kind of stopped for a second. I thought, well, that was either the dumbest answer in the world, the most brilliant thing I could say. And the room kind of burst out in laughter. And I honestly, God, have to wonder if that might have been what got me the job, because I could think on my feet. And I'm not scared to admit when I don't know something. And I've got a little bit of a sense of humor.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
For developing relationships. And so I kind of have to kind of wonder if that might have been what ultimately got me the job. And so then obviously you start a brand new job and you know nothing about it. And then you've got to start working. But I give a lot of credit to the PTAC or the APEX, because they were willing to invest in my education. And, I think within the first month and a half, I was in Denver learning about the FAR. Mm-hmm. I went to the national conference, which I think was also Denver that year, if I remember correctly. So three and a half, 4 days of meeting other ABTAC people or other PTAC people across the nation. And they were very, very supportive as far as me learning. That allowed me to get the master's certificate and the work that I'm doing. it's allowed me to kind of excel with our national organization. I've been a board member, and I'm now working as the chairperson of the ballots committee, and then also the a member of the membership committee. You were kind of laughing at that a little earlier, but I'm kind of the co-chair of the membership committee. So, but it's given me a chance to network with people across the country. And what I've found out is that I've enjoyed people at every step of my career. I've known some wonderful hospital CEOs and CFOs. But now that I'm having a chance to meet some wonderful people that are APEX counselors across the country, and I get to work with some wonderful people on a daily basis. So, besides that, I've also gotten to meet some great clients. I mean, I usually say that I'd like my clients to have a little bit of sense of humor because I try to at least keep things a little bit lighthearted in our meeting. I think people,
which we do, well, I bring one of my associates with me and we always have a great time. We usually
laugh for about the first 5 minutes before we get down to business. But, so that's kind of my journey. I mean, I think the things that opened up the door for me was, number one, obviously getting me my initial college degree. Mm-hmm. But then with the University of Missouri, with being an academic institution, they put a lot of stock into somebody having an advanced degree, a master's degree. Yeah. I am never going to get a doctorate. It kind of crossed my mind at one point, but I'm not sure what I'd do with a doctorate. I say never. I guess I should never say never, but I don't see that anytime in my near future. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I look at this. I'm hoping this is a job I retire from. I am enjoying my clients.
It's one thing I think as I've owned a search firm for 30 years, I've interviewed a lot of people. I think one of the biggest things is if you do not enjoy your job, change it. You're never too old. You said some things that were, I wanted to point out. One of the things that you said was that you did not have experience in a certain area, but you went ahead and applied. And so many people say, I don't have that experience, so I would never be considered. And I always say, what do you have to lose? Right? Look into it. It might be your dream job. But if there was something that interested you, if they are not interested in you because you don't have the experience, they won't call you. But you don't know until you open that door.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. So, you know, obviously that doesn't apply if you're applying for an RN position, you're not a licensed
correct.
RN.
Correct. Yes.
But yeah.
No, I think it's really good.
I would agree with that.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about was, you know, there's a lot of people in this generation right now, there's a lot of kids that are saying, I don't want a degree. I don't think I need it. I don't see it valuable at this point. Talk to me a little bit about what you would say about that, because you and I, we're in our 50s, right? So it's a different world. Everything is social media, online. A lot of things have changed. But if you had a young adult sitting in front of you who said, I really don't see the purpose of getting my degree, what would you say to them in terms of advice?
Well, it's a personal decision. I think that you've got more potential job openings if you have a degree. I mean, the first thing I'm going to say is if you're thinking about dropping out of high school, do not do that. Or if you do, get your GED. I think GED. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of people that cannot get any job whatsoever because they dropped out of high school and did not have a GED. Now that does not mean some of them are not multimillionaires today. I mean, you can always point at exceptions.
Right.
I'm not totally convinced you've got to have a bachelor's degree of some type. But even getting an associate's degree or some kind of a technical degree or some, you know, so maybe you want to become auto mechanic. I mean, getting a certification as auto mechanic, getting maybe going, picking up some classes at OTC for carpentry school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because if you want to be an electrician, I don't think you particularly have to have a college degree to be an electrician. Doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. But I think you definitely got to go through the training. So you got to kind of find out what your passion is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say get as much education as you can under whatever your passion is, because then if you fall in your passion, you don't really feel like you're working on a daily basis. And I've had some jobs that felt too much like work.
Right. Exactly.
Also had some jobs that I can sit back and say, this is great. So of course it swings day to day. So
that's right. I always say to people, you know, if you have an interest in a certain area and you're not ready to apply, reach out to people in those roles. And sometimes they won't talk to you, but sometimes they will. And if they do, they can give you their insight, and that will help you so much. I think that's really important. Do your research, right?
Mm-hmm. Shadowing. I mean, if somebody wanted to come and you know, I really kind of have a hard time shadowing me because I'd have to ask permission due to the confidentiality. Correct. if you're going to sit in on a counseling session. But so, for example, why don't we say you have an interest in becoming a medical technologist? My wife is a medical technologist. you might have an opportunity to go shadow and watch somebody doing their medical technology work for the day. Now, you That's probably it. can't report patient results or run the test, but at least you can say, hey, this does interest me or this totally bores me.
Right.
In fact, I go back to my freshman year in high school, actually it was junior high at that point, back in St. Louis. At that point, I wanted to be an athletic trainer. And of all the coolest things, Miss Hopkins actually had an opportunity for me to go shadow Gene Gieselman, who was the Cardinals athletic trainer for a day. Wow. Mm-hmm. You talk about a wonderful memory. I mean, at that point, I'm just enamored with the Cardinals. I still enamored with the Cardinals, but I walked in and there's Lou Brock's locker and there's Bob Gibson's locker and there's Ted Sizemore's locker. And you just named the Ted Simmons's locker. And I was not able to be there for a game, but he spent, I mean, a lot more time than you would think. I bet he devoted about 3 or 4 hours of his day just have me follow him around and talk to me about it. Now, I never became an athletic trainer, obviously, but it wasn't anything Gene Gieselman did. But I know. And just because somebody asked, I had a chance to basically talk to the guy that was the number one athletic trainer in the St. Louis area.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Yeah. Don't turn that down.
If you had a young adult sitting in front of you.
Like you.
Yeah, I'm 55. I'm old.
I'm almost 60.
Yeah, there we go. But we have fun and we act like we're 25. So that's what matters. Let me ask you this. If somebody came to you and said, you know, Alan, I'm 21 or 22, but I have no idea what I want to do with my life. What advice would you give to that person?
Couple different things. Number one, I would probably see if they could take one of those. I don't guess it would not be a personality quiz, but take one of those things
that might be able to focus. Like a career assessment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, career assessment thing, which would at least allow you to kind of say, hey, this is where probably my strong points would be. I'd probably have them take a career assessment. I would also then probably say, if you may want to be a lawyer, let me introduce you to a lawyer friend of mine. You may want to be an accountant. Let me introduce you to an accountant friend of mine. Mm-hmm. It won't be an Apex dude. Let me introduce you to the Apex dude I know. Not that we have a whole lot of openings, but I would say that probably just, I would also say, look at what really interests you. I mean, what gives you satisfaction? You know, looking back to my days with BKD, I probably didn't do that well enough. I mean, I probably, looking back, maybe I should have approached that job a little bit differently. But I'm not so sure that I ever was going to be would have been really good at being a public accountant. So I would, yeah. And like I said, BKD was a wonderful place to work, great place to start my career. But looking back, that was probably not I should have known fairly quickly that it was not going to be my lifetime job.
Right.
The other thing too is never, ever quit learning. And also, I mean, we're no longer in the days of our parents or grandparents where somebody went to work for 35, 40 years for one location. Don't be scared to network. Don't be scared to reach out. Don't be scared to, I mean, if you feel like it's time for you to change jobs, then start looking for another job.
Right. Exactly. And
find
the
what
other
your passion is.
Exactly. And if I would echo that, I always say, write down what you love to do, because you'd be surprised how many things could come from that. But secondly, you know, it's so important that you take care of yourself, because if you don't like your job, you come home, and if you have a family, it will spill over. It will, just like you had mentioned, it will affect your health. It always does. So try to find things that are interesting to you, and they will come. Opportunities will come if you open the door, right? They're not going to come to you, but you have to do the research and open the door. So this is so fascinating, because again, did you ever think that you would be in the role you're in now?
No.
Right. Exactly.
I didn't even know this role existed until I met with David Jerome. I had no idea this was even an opportunity. I hate to say we're a closely guarded secret, because we don't try to be a guarded secret, but not a whole lot of people know that we exist. Not a whole lot of people know that the Small Business Development Centers exist, or the TAC programs, or SCORE, or some of these other folks that are great resources for people. I think what I get the most satisfaction out of is helping people. It's plain and simple, helping people.
And you do. And the other thing I was going to say is there's a lot of career centers across the country, through the state, usually through your state of Missouri, that you can go and you can register. You can look at different things like that. I will say for myself, as our company refocused the creative office, if you haven't checked it out, please do so. But when I was 45, I was diagnosed with ADHD and I thought I was getting dementia, but I hired a business coach, an ADHD business coach, best money I ever spent. I actually do career coaching on the side and hired yourself a career coach. Go do something, right? Do something. And I think you and I would echo that. Just put that foot forward and make that call. Walk into that building, whatever you need to do. But we can all get stuck, but there's always a new opportunity if we are open to it.
Most of the professionals that I've met are always eager to have conversations with people and tell them about their jobs. Some of them are extremely busy. And I mean, getting the opportunity to visit with them is pretty tough. But I think most people like to share with people what they do. And especially with younger folks, I think that you always have an interest because, you know, I'm looking at this saying, okay, I may have another 5 years in me. I mean, I don't know how much longer I'm going to work at the Apex, but we need to have people that are ready to just kind of step into my roles and the roles of other, you know, bank presidents and stuff. I mean, they realize that they're going to retire at some point and they want to make sure that their banks and the legacies that they help build continue on in the future. So I think a lot of times just reaching out and establishing a relationship. I mean, don't be a pest. But then also, once you've had an opportunity to visit with somebody, taking the time to maybe send a thank you note or something, or a thank you email or something saying, hey, I appreciate the time we got to spend together. I realize you're a busy person, but
so important.
Dang it. Thank you for taking the time.
So important. So, well, listen, I could talk to you all day. I think you have an amazing background, an amazing career. We're very selective on who we ask to be on this particular podcast, because I always say there's unique opportunities out there that we don't know about. What is their day-to-day life look like? And so, again, this has been great. And I graciously just appreciate you for coming on, sharing with us about your experience. And again, I personally thank you for helping me, but I thank you for being on our podcast.
Well, thank you for giving me a chance to share my story. So I've enjoyed it.
Today's podcast is sponsored by RefocusCareers.com. My name's Angela Stevens. I'm the host, but I'm also a 30-year executive recruiter. I worked in the pharmaceutical, biotech, and nutrition industry, and I've interviewed thousands of candidates. I can only take on so many, but if you're looking for a career coach that can give you a different perspective, check it out at refocuscareers.com and email me. Also, if you have a young adult, sometimes it's overwhelming for them when they don't know what to do. We've got a guided anxiety journal at our website, time2refocus.com. We've also got college scholarship timeline sheets. And let me tell you, I had one of those young adults that just anxiety was too much when trying to apply for those scholarships and colleges. I tried to help him. It was overwhelming for me. So I created a product. It's called our college scholarship timeline sheets. They're under $10. And believe me, it alleviates their anxiety. There's 6 sheets in a pack. One side is colleges, one side is scholarships. Parents, if you're listening to this, put it in their car, put it in their bed, put it in front of their video games. I'm telling you, after 3 or 4 tries, they will start filling it out. But it's much better than trying to, you know, get onto them or yell at them. It's basically giving them a tool to help them focus and alleviate that anxiety. And that's what we're all about. So no matter what you're going through, don't forget to stop, take a moment, and refocus.